Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 157, the Not Much You episode. I have not gotten as much work done as I would have liked to between last time you heard from me and this time. That's how life is. You'll hear about it in the Quilt Diaries. It is Wednesday, January 28th. Beautiful day. Not that I'm infected by the weather in the least bit. That is not true. I don't complain about the weather. I am very affected by the weather. And so to wake up this morning to blue skies after a really long, well, it seems like a very long run of gray weather, which is not even true. It was sunny on Sunday. But it just, the sunny days are a little bit on the few and far between side right now, which is typical of winter this year. We have not had snow here in central North Carolina. And it could still come. We had tons of snow in like February and maybe even March. Can you hear there's a road cleaner outside? Do you have one of those, like where they go and they spray water onto the curbs and suck up the leaves, I guess, vacuum up the leaves, although we don't have leaves. Anyway, back to the show. Weather, wintry, not snowy, just gray and gloomy. The sun is good, even if it's cold. It's a little cold. I am fine. I don't have a little cold. We're just having a funky time here. Not bad. Not bad. We just got the boys' report cards. Good report cards. I am happy to report. And, you know, this is my whole new thing. It's like I've decided my children are just fine as they are, and I no longer have any desire to improve them. This kind of goes hand in hand with last week's, we're not an active people, and we're not. And it's funny because I've heard from several people saying, oh, thank goodness. there's somebody like us, the family that just kind of hangs out. I think hanging out is good. And, you know, I wish my kids were not on the computer so much. Jack is almost 16, and, you know, our thing with Jack is here's what you got to do in order to kind of be in charge of your own computer time. And he does it. You know, he gets good grades. He got straight A's. The kid got an A+ in honors pre-calc. I don't know how that happened. I mean, there are math people on both sides of the family, but I am such a not a math person that I think I would quash just being in any way related to me, having anything to do with my personal set of DNA. My chromosomes and just being near them. I think people who are good at math get near me and become bad at math. So that I have a child who's really good at math and doesn't particularly care about math. He just can do it. I'm just like, this is crazy. What a crazy world we live in. Anyway, he's doing what he's supposed to do. And so, hey. And, you know, so that's all. You know, I just feel like I can't spend my life policing this child. And he seems good, and he's actually been kind of nice lately. And, you know, I think he's just coming out of the worst part of the adolescent funk, and he's swimming, so he's got some endorphins action going on. So anyway, so I wish you were out frolicking in the front yard, but he's never frolicked. Why do I think it's going to happen now? It's not. And as for Will, he's a great kid, you know, and he's okay. They're doing okay. I don't think either of them are going to turn into psychopaths or sociopaths. I think they're good to their people. I've just decided they're good enough. I have good enough kids. I think I'm going to put that on a bumper sticker on my car. My kids are good enough. Back off. Wouldn't that be great? I want that bumper sticker. My kids are good enough. Back off. I think I'll do it. In any event, so I don't even know how I got there. Talked about the weather, everyone's got, I don't have it. I had a little bit of a bug. And everyone's just gotten a little bit of a bug. And then Will also got a broken finger, which I talk about in the Quilt Diaries. Not a bad break. Not a bad break at all. I think painful, but yeah. Anyway, so he's also kind of had this cough. And it's just January. There's nothing you can do. The only way out is through. Now, if you're in Australia, you're going, I love January. January rocks. Send us some of those good vibes, okay? Anyway, so, yes. This is The Off-Kilter Quilt. I mentioned that. I'm Frances, mentioned that. Sometimes I feel like I should do a whole new, not a whole new, but do some sort of self-introduction for those of you who are just getting started here. But you'll pick stuff up. I think you're smart enough to make connections, right? I think you are. I think you're going to figure out that I have two kids, a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. And I've got this husband. His name is The Man. I've got a dog named Travis. I'm a writer. Sometimes I make quilts. Not in the last couple days. Talk about it in the quilt diary. You'll get there. Okay, what I want to say right now is thank you to everyone who commented. All the comments are wonderful. Now, Tammy in Denver claims to have sent me a comment over on the Podbean site. Tammy, I don't know, man. I think you're just trying to somehow... She says her mojo's gone, and you know why? Because she's not been commenting. Yes. Now, I haven't heard from Debbie yet, but I don't want to put that too much pressure on her to be like, I can't post a podcast till I hear from Debbie. I'm going to let that go. Besides, she's getting ready for QuiltCon, which I think is next weekend. Is that right? Not this coming one, but like February 7th-ish, whatever. Next a week from Saturday or Friday or Thursday. Anyway, that's my sense of things. And I want full reports. And I was wondering if Miss Allison Rosen is going to QuiltCon. I'm not sure. I cannot tell. I was looking at her blog. But maybe I skimmed. Maybe she says. I know she submitted some absolutely marvelous quilts that did not get in the show. And they should have. They should have beautiful, wonderful, delightful quilts. She's a delightful quilt maker. Anyway, but last year she went and then she gave it. No, it wasn't last year. Was it the year before? She went somewhere. Maybe last year she went to Houston. She went to some show. It couldn't have been QuiltCon, right? Because that was 2013. But anyway, wherever she went, she gave a really fabulous report. So I'm kind of hoping she's going to go to QuiltCon and then do a fabulous report. Let me know, Allison. Anyway. Comments. I got plenty. Could have gotten a few more. You know what I'm saying. Yet that little feeling of guilt that just hit you. Yeah. You know what that's about. Anyway, I got a lovely comment from Bobby from Colorful Colorado. And she said that Saturdays are her favorite day to quilt. She can't tell me why, but she loves setting that one day just for quilting. I love that too. It's so wonderful. And I tried that last Saturday. It didn't happen. Talk about in the quilt diaries, etc. But yeah, it's nice when you have that free and clear day. If you do, like that Saturday. And even if it's rainy and gloomy, you don't care. Because you're quilting and you're listening to podcasts and you're binge watching stuff on Netflix. And you're making, yeah, and you're just having a good time. And everyone else can make their own lunch. Thank you very much. Yes, so Saturday quilting is really good quilting. So anyway, thank you, Bobby, for your comment, which was lovely and wonderful. And she loves my idea about hanging out our quilts May 1st. So let's get working on that. I got a comment from Terry also into the let's hang out our quilts, everybody on the same day. So we need to start a nonprofit to make that happen. Okay. And... here's what Bobby says about why quilts matter. Not the series, but the question. Why do quilts matter? Because quilts bring happiness for the person who makes the quilt and gets to be creative, and for the person who receives the quilt and takes pleasure in it. And that really kind of gets down to the crux of the matter. I think that is a deep reason why quilts matter. And I think quilts matter for both the maker and the receiver. As Papa just said, but I think that's huge, that it's this two-sided, it's this exchange, and it's this wonderful investment of creativity, and then this wonderful receiving of love. Yeah. So anyway, Bobby, thank you so, so much. By the way, if you want to comment, which I know you do, come over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com and leave a comment. You know, it makes me happy. You do. Let me see who else left me a comment this week. Oh, Laura commented, and this was great. Too bad Ken Burns isn't interested in quilt making. That way there would be a quilt documentary worth watching. If you have listened to last week's episode, you know I kind of went off big way on the Why Quilts Matter documentary and why it didn't work for me. And you know what? I love the idea of Ken Burns making a quilting documentary. Let's write him. We'll start a nonprofit for hanging out our quilts, and then we'll contact Ken Burns and say, you know what? You really need to do a quilting documentary. We'll figure this all out. Got a comment from, it's Kaylee Jean, although on Twitter, I feel like it's Kelly, because she was the one. All right, so I don't go on Twitter a lot, or I do. I go on and I read everybody's tweets, but I'm not very active on Twitter. But, you know, I do go when I post a new episode and say, everybody comment, new episode. And then, like, I went, like, a couple of days, 2 or 3 days without a comment. This is so weird. And I was like, where are the comments? Where's the love? And it, Kelly said, you didn't post your show notes. I had them. I just had not posted them. So in any event, she asked now, how is EQ going? I have to say I have not done a ton on it. I've been thinking about it. But she says, everything you need to know is in the manual and help files, but there's tons of help on the website, along with free downloads. She teaches EQ7 to a guild locally, and actually she's learned some things while teaching them, and I'm so glad, because now I have your email, and I may be in touch with you. Yes. You know, life. My life keeps getting in the way of the stuff I want to do. Heard from Sue in upstate New York. And she says, and I absolutely believe this, that EQ7 is a great program, but you have to use it. You have to frequently use it, or you forget how to do things. And, you know, I spent a couple days going through the, believe it or not, actually trying to learn how to do it and going step by step. And now it's been a while since I've sat down with it again. So I think I'll probably just have to start over. I heard from A.G. Lindsay. So A.G., let's see, Amy, Andrea, we'll just say AG. AG's kind of cool sounded. Anyway, she had a great comment, multi-tiered comment, recommends quilt designing, like designing the actual quilting pattern of tops. The first book, she says, that really addressed that for her was Quilting Makes the Quilt by Lee Cleland. And if I get my act together, I'll find that on Amazon and link to it. So apparently the author took several identical quilts and quilted them in several different ways, showing how you could look at the quilt either as an overall thing or separate pieces, blocks, borders, etc. And AG found it quite interesting. It's an older book. So I might be able to get it through interlibrary loan or used on Amazon. And then she says, oops, way too long. No such thing as a too long comment or too short. Bring the comments. She also said something interesting when you mentioned the quote about the quilts acting as an outlet for women's political activism. This is something that Shelley Ziegert said in a very overstated way on the Why Quilts Matter. Yeah, she says, I really think that applied, AG says, I really think that applied more to when women didn't vote or felt like they had no real say in politics. If you think about the way we are now, we don't need to get our ideas across in coded messages. And that is very true. Yeah, some of that just back in the day, right, that, and there were really coded messages in quilts, and there were blocks that had names that were indicative of how the quilt maker felt about a political situation, whether it be a particular candidate or abolition. But nowadays, we get to vote. So anyway, AG, thank you so much for your wonderful and not too long quote. Heard from Jenny, who liked the fact that Joe Cunningham, I mentioned him last week, that he cut up paintings to put into a quilt. That made her smile and proud to be a quilter. I don't know if you read that article in Craft Magazine that I linked to last week, but essentially Joe Cunningham saw a Robert Rauschenberg painting that where Rauschenberg had cut up a quilt or painted over a quilt or used a quilt in some way that Joe Cunningham did not think was appropriate. So he cut up paintings and turned them into a quilt, which actually I have to say is very cool. Heard from Heather, who says that she is more of a piecer than a quilter. She can do the quilting, and she does, because, and this is what warmed my heart, I'm basically too cheap, she said, right, to send it, my quilt, out to a long armor where the quilting would be done properly. Like, yeah, I'm too cheap too. Fortunately for any long armors who are listening, a lot of people aren't too cheap and are very happy to send you their quilts. Right now, a lot of Heather's quilting consists of stippling and meandering, and so she was saying that she was impressed with the amount of quilting that I've actually done on the mosaic quilt. Although I have to say, I love stippling and meandering. I think it looks great. So be proud of your stippling and meandering, Heather. You're doing a good job. Heard from Jackie. Who is Jackie Burditch? She'd submitted a comment at some point where it was like Jay Burditch, and I was like, who's that? And some people said, oh, it's Jackie, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. But anyway, glad to have that confirmed. And Jackie is one of the women, she tells me in her comment, that she was part of the 70s quilting resurgence. She taught herself to sew at 10 and was a garment and craft sewer. And then she saw a quilt in a women's magazine and wanted to make one. I love this. She writes, I didn't buy the magazine, Days of No Money, but wish I had. It took me a while to find it at the library. Didn't know what I was looking for. The pattern was a log cabin, and while I didn't do a lot of quilting then, young children, no money, I was hooked. So, hey, that's a great story. That's the funny thing. I think probably all of us have stories of being beginner. Those of us who are started out self-taught, you saw a quilt and said, I want to make that, and went to the library and started looking around trying to figure it out. I'm sure we all have really pretty funny stories of those initial efforts. I know I do. And I have some pretty funny looking quilts as well. Jackie, thank you so much for telling us your story. Heard from Gretchen, who said nice things about the mosaic quilting. Thank you. And from Kristen, who also says she does not have the patience for quilting. I think in an email, maybe Kristen said something about being more of a piecer than a quilter. And I think a lot of people are. And, you know, all the pain and frustration of free motion quilting, I do enjoy it, but I can also see, like, really not enjoying it. And if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. There's a long armor who could really use your money. And then I heard from the lovely Terry, who also, as I said, loves the idea of hanging out our quilts on a warm and slightly breezy day in April. She's got April in her mind. We can talk April, May. So anyway, National Quilt Airing Day has got to be next. Yes, we got to start this movement. Let's figure out how to do that. And then heard from Patty, who says that she's enjoying the podcast. And she said, thanks for the tips on blogs, specifically Simple Arts. That's Annie Smith's blog. And Art Quilt Maker, that's Jay. And she's also going to revisit Maeve, and that's Maeve Binchy. We love Maeve. Yes. And I believe we're saying that right, Maeve. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, who took the time to comment. And I know some of you took the time to comment in your head. I do that, too. But if you want to comment in real life and make this real girl real happy, come over to the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com. You can email me at F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. I'd love to hear from you. Okay then. Well, you know what? It's time to move on to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Saturday, January 24th. It's about noon, 12:30-ish. Today is a big quilting day. I have 27 white blocks to do on the mosaic quilt, and my plan today is to get them done. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to try. I also want to get in my 15,000 steps. That's kind of my goal. It's harder to do on weekends because I don't write on the weekends, and therefore I'm not naturally at my treadmill at work, but I'm going to try. So that's my second goal for the day. I'm going to focus on the first one, 27 blocks. Now, I will not be done quilting when I finish the 27 blocks because I still have the half square triangle border and then the outer border, and I have to figure out what to do with that. What I've learned from experience is to not leave it alone. It will be tempting, but after the quilt is washed, it will be puffy and I will be unhappy. I have learned something in the quilting. I've learned many things. One of the things that I've learned, so, you know, I quilted all the mosaic blocks first and left the white blocks to quilt once because I hadn't figured out a pattern. But I've learned that that's problematic because you know why the white blocks are puffy. And I have to work very hard not to pleat them. And there have been some very minor pleats that I'm going to let stand going on. So I've learned my lesson on that. Just figure out your overall quilt design before you sit down. Because yes, quilting every other block leaves some problems with the leftover blocks. Puffiness and pleating. I've learned. It's all about process, girls. It's all about learning new things. Couple things I want to mention. As my most recent show that I'm watching on Netflix, Broadchurch, actually watched it when it came on TV, I believe, last spring. But it's very interesting to watch a series that has a story arc that begins in the first episode and ends in the last episode, to watch it again, knowing what you know. And then it's really interesting to see how they built the story and how they deflected and mislead and et cetera. And it's good. David Tennant plays the main detective. It's set, Broadchurch is a town in England. It's probably a fictional town, but by the accents, I would say northern-ish England. And not that I know a whole lot about regional dialects and accents in England, but I had friends from northern England, and they sound kind of like these guys. Could be wrong, though. Anyway, and now David Tennant is actually, there's a Fox series, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the same series, but set in American, and David Tennant is also in that, playing the same role, but as an American. And I haven't watched that. Maybe I will. Maybe that'll be my next show. But if you're looking for something good, they're disturbing and upsetting aspects, but at the same time, it's mild fare compared to a lot of what's out there. And it's quite good, and the acting is very good. I wanted to say, if you're on Facebook, a group that I just joined that I'm really enjoying is called Quilting Bee. And it's a big group. And I feel like probably every 4 or 5 Facebook posts I get now is from that group, but mostly it's people showing what they're doing. And there's just, you know, and not everything's great, but a lot of it's really good. So it's fun. If you like looking at quilts and you're on Facebook, I would recommend that. And then finally, I wanted to recommend a book. Oh, I'm reading it, so I shouldn't recommend it till I finish, but it's the newest JoJo Moyes. Is that right? Let me look. Moyes, M-O-Y-E-S. It's 1+1. It came out last summer. I was not aware that it was out. And it is. So I got it at my book club Christmas book swap. And I just started it. And it's, you know, if you've read JoJo Moyes, was it Me Without You, Me Before You, something, which is wonderful, which I've read a couple times and cried like a baby both times. She's, to me, she's similar to Leanne Moriarty, who I believe is Australian, but just in terms of writing contemporary, what I would call women's fiction, and doing it very well and doing a good job with characters and a satisfying plot. So if you're looking for not necessarily a light read, but not necessarily a literary read, but a book that's about women's lives, and it has, you know, interesting stuff going on, I would recommend it. I'll let you know when I finish it. Anyway, I may be talking to you throughout the day. I don't know, but I just wanted to go on the record saying I've got 27 blocks, and I aim to quilt all of them today. So I will be back and let you know how it's going. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. So, you know how the other day when I said I am going to quilt all these blocks, all these negative space, all these white blocks by the end of the day? So you know how I said that and you're thinking, oh no, you are not. Remember how you thought that? You were very right. You, my dear, were correct. Because I did about 5. Now, you know, I mean, obviously I'm very silly to have thought I might have done that. And, I, you know, I wasn't really starting until about 1 or so. And it was Saturday afternoon, and you kind of think, Saturday afternoon, look as it just stretches out before me, a long field of green, lovely time for me to use up, to sew through. Yeah. You know, it was Saturday afternoon, and I got some done. But you know, when you're machine quilting, you have to take breaks. And that was good, because I'm trying to do 15,000 steps a day. And so I would do a block, and then go walk on the treadmill for 20 minutes, do another block. And, you know, I don't know how long the blocks are taking. I haven't timed myself. You know, I'm not a speed demon, and I don't want to get into that game. I don't want to feel like I'm under pressure, right? So anyway, so life just happens on a Saturday afternoon if you're actually in your house and your family is around you and you have a dog who you haven't walked and who every time you like stand up and make a move in the direction of the door, I mean, you can be all the way across the house. You can be on the other side of the house, but if you make take a step in the direction of the door, the dog is on you. And he's just looking at you with his big sad eyes going, please, 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 please. So you've got to walk the dog, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And we're in this weird situation. So the man's got a study. It's a really nice room, and I could have taken it for my study, but I'm sweet and good and whatever, so I didn't. And that's worked out very nicely, although every once in a while I walk in, and it's warm, unlike my space that I use, and it's filled with light, unlike my space. I'm like, wish I'd taken this space. But that decision was made almost 8 years ago. So we need to let that go. And it was my choice. I had the choice. But it's now become kind of the man cave of the house. On purpose. By design. Last summer, the man and Jack built a new gaming computer. And the great thing about that is, you know, what does Jack do is besides live his life on the computer? Very little. So he is downstairs. You know, and for the last couple of years, we hardly saw Jack. And then starting this summer, he started coming downstairs. And now he's downstairs. He only does his homework in his room. And then there's a TV in there, and the man's computer, in the fall, the man got himself a nice couch. Very comfortable. It's where I sleep when the man starts snoring. And after I've kicked him 3 times and he hasn't discovered the wherewithal to get up and to go himself down to sleep on the couch, I go down and sleep on that couch. It's a really good sleeping couch. So it's a great room, but it is at its heart supposed to be the man's study. But it's really been taken over by boys and the dog. And so, yeah, we had this situation on Saturday where the man was working on a project, editing some video he had taken of an archaeological dig, long story, and he couldn't find a place to work. And, you know, he went upstairs for a little bit, the thing about working upstairs, this is too far away. You want people to be around. So then he kind of decided he would do his video editing on my sewing table, which at the time he made that decision, I wasn't working. And so then all of a sudden, like, I'm the one without a space to work on. Yeah. Anyway, so blah, 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 blah. I think in order to quilt fairly intensely 27 blocks, you need to be at a quilt retreat and start like at 9 in the morning. Lesson learned. And you know what the funny thing is I've not worked at all on the quilt since Saturday. That's not been my intention. Just my life has gotten in the way. On Sunday, talk about a good plan gone bad. Not my plan, and I didn't make it bad, but I had to help make it better. Okay, so Will's playing basketball. Will, by the way, broke his finger. Not playing basketball, playing dodgeball in school. I didn't even, you know, so when I took him to urgent care, and the nurse was like, I don't think most schools let kids play dodgeball anymore, which is, you know, probably smart, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, I don't know. Someone's got to break a finger every once in a while. It builds character, but it's not a bad break. It's his pinky finger on his right hand, which is problematic because he's right-handed. But anyway, yes, but, and the great thing, that, you know, if there's a silver lining to this broken finger, it is that basketball season is over for Will. And it's not like baseball, which I think would really bum Will out. Basketball is like his secondary, really tertiary sport. If we let him play football would be his secondary sport. We won't do. He's welcome to play dodgeball and break bones, but he's not welcome to get a series of concussions playing football that will leave him kind of clueless by the time he's 43. In any event, yes. So, Basketball game Saturday. We lost again. Wills had really bad basketballs in. And this was the year we thought that things would be good. He's on a team with a lot of kids from his school. And now if you want to know how the varsity basketball team is going to be at DA in a few years, you know it's going to be really bad. because they played on Saturday. Another team made up a lot of kids from our school. And really, although we got stomped, the other team really wasn't playing all that well. And our team, they're a lot, you know, it's funny. It's one of those teams, there's talent. You see it. They just have never come together as a team. And so we, of course, have to blame the coach, but not out loud because, you know, who wants to coach? Thank all coaches for coaching, whether they do a good job or not. Yeah. So anyway, after the game, one of the moms, this very nice mom who I like a lot, she can seem a little airheaded, a little confused. But then you talk to her and she's very cool and got some interesting stuff going on. But she invited everybody, both teams, because there are all these kids from the same school. So why don't you guys, you know, whoever wants to come over to our house tomorrow after lunch. We've got a basketball hoop and you guys can hang out, shoot baskets. It was a very nice offer. The next day was Sunday and the weather was supposed to be nice, etc. Well, on Sunday, this mom sent out directions to her house and the coach of the basketball team, whose son plays on the team, said, well, my guys are actually going to go play at this court near our house. And it's actually a full court. It's a small court, but it's a full court. And the mom was like, well, okay, which would be her response. I've known this one for a little while. And I could see her just going, oh, okay, well, sure, if that's what everyone wants to do. Well, what happened was everybody dropped their kids off at this court, but didn't stay. And I think this mom was thinking that the basketball coach, that dad, would be out there with the kids. And some of the parents would stay and hang out because it's not like this was a bad neighborhood, would you know? But there were kids who their parents had come over from Chapel Hill or down from North Durham, you know. So it wasn't, you know, and they're playing basketball, and you just kind of felt like you wanted some adult to at least have an eye on things. And the mom, her name is Holly. You know, she's just standing there holding the bag. Now, if she had been at home, of course, her plan was to keep an eye on things from the comfort and warmth of her living room while she was reading the Sunday papers, you know, and looking out the window every once in a while to make sure, you know, people weren't killing each other or, you know, whatever, playing dodgeball and breaking each other's fingers. So instead, she was stuck over at this neighborhood, very not that far from her house, but, you know, still like a 20-minute walk from her house. So, and everyone had just gone, hey, thanks, dropped off the kids, and she was stuck there because she did not feel comfortable leaving the kids by themselves. And so when I dropped off Will, and I was like the last one to drop somebody off, and she told me that, I just felt like I couldn't leave. It didn't seem fair. I had some errands to run, so I actually hung out with her for an hour, and I said, I'm going to go run my errands. They were kind of close to that neighborhood, and I'll be back, like, in 20 minutes. And, you know, and then if you need to go and do something, you could go do something. So I went, and I came back, and they were all gone. They were gone. There was nobody there, including Holly. I'm like, oh. Okay, so I drove over to Holly's house. I had to call the man and say, what's Holly's address? And I drove over. I figured maybe she had said something like, you know, if later the kids wanted to go to her house, they could. So I thought, well, maybe she's taking some of those kids over to her house. Nobody there. I have absolutely no idea where these kids are, and I don't have Holly's cell phone, which was dumb on me not to get that when I left. So then I had to, what did I do? Somehow, the man found Holly's email, and it had been sent from her cell. So we got the number, and I texted Holly. Well, the kids had wandered. She had gone off for a little bit of a walk, just, you know, around the block. She came back, and the kids were kind of wandering. It's about 12 kids, and they're wandering up. There's a country club, and they're wandering up there. And, you know, some of the kids are really, in some ways, not under her control. They are neighborhood kids. They go to that club. She goes to that club. But, you know, she can't say, no, you have to stay here. But there are other kids she feels like, Yeah, so basically she's out there herding cats. So, I mean, I was kind of not happy when I came back and realized that we're gone and not at Holly's house, but somewhere completely, you know. But she was clearly so upset, and that she's like, oh, I didn't realize you didn't have my phone number, or and I didn't have yours, and da-da-da-da. So I was just like, don't worry about it. It's fine. By the time I got home, it was late. The afternoon, while clear, had been cold and breezy. And really what I needed to do was just drink wine and forget about my life, forget about my troubles. But quilting was not high on the list. That was a very long story to tell you why. And I'm not even done with the story. So why not Monday? Why didn't I quilt on Monday? Orthodontist appointment. And then that pushed, I don't know. And then I had to go run errands. Right? And, you know, I work in the morning. Yesterday, longest dentist appointment in the world just for a cleaning. Love my dentist, and I love him because you can spend 2 hours in his office for a cleaning, because he doesn't mess around. And I actually left my old dentist for my new dentist. And I left my old dentist because he was a little casual, and I do not have the kind of teeth you can be casual about. I have bad teeth. And at this point, you know, there are 40-year-old fillings in some of my teeth, or most of them have been replaced, sadly, by crowns. And then, of course, crowns, they don't last forever. So, yeah, and so, yep, I got a crown. That's got to go. It's got to be replaced. It's a gold crown. We are not replacing it with gold, which is good, because even though you can't see it, it's in the back of my mouth. I've always felt, like, kind of weird about that. But, yeah, and I think it's come loose because I've been grinding because of my retainers. But now I have a different lower retainer, so I'm not grinding. But for a while, waking up, in the morning with a headache and feeling worse, feeling really bad because I had just spent the whole night with my teeth clenched. Because I think, which is not something that I did until I got these retainers. It was like having something in my mouth just made me bite down. Okay, I bit down. So now it's better, but apparently I have been grinding and doing some damage to my teeth. Yeah. Anyway, you don't recover from something like that. You don't recover from a 2-hour teeth cleaning. Yeah, with any, you know, and then coming home. Oh, you know that other thing on Monday? You know what the other thing on Monday was? Will broke his finger. See? My children are breaking bones. How am I supposed to quilt this quilt? Anyway, maybe I will today. It's about 1:15. I need to make a target run, which would be, Allison Rosen, if you're listening, my first target run of 2015. I need to get a little bin for my car because I still listen to CDs, yeah, and they just roll. They've rolled all around my car. I have a car full of rolling CDs, so I need to get a little bin. So, yeah, I think I am going to go to Target, and I need a notebook because I have to buy a notebook, at least one notebook a month. I love notebooks and cabbage. And, yes, so, you know, I have a list. I'll be careful. I promise you, I'll be careful. Anyway, yeah, I might get back to my quilt life sometime soon. I have been doing lots of quilty reading. I have joined, by the way, the American Quilt Study Group. I'm giving it a shot. I'm actually quite excited. Now, I'm working on a project that I haven't really talked to you guys about, and I don't know whether I'm going to jinx it or not, but I did tell my dad. I've told some people. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I am working on a proposal for a series of novels about quilts. Yes, quilting novels set in the 1930s. And I'm going to submit this proposal to the American Quilting Society. You know, their publishing arm does have a small little place for novels, but they want series. They want books that are fairly cozy, and they want series. So when you submit, you have to submit the first 2 chapters of your first book. And I do have 2 chapters. That's kind of all I have. But a synopsis for the first novel, second novel, and third novel. And this has been very interesting to me to work on this because I don't write that way. I usually sit down with the character in a situation and see what happens. So this has been actually a lot of fun. To kind of like tell the short version of the story. Writing the long version of the story will be less fun than just making stuff up and, you know, doing an overview, but that's what I'm working on. And that, to be honest, is the reason for all this quilt history stuff, or it's how I got into it. You know, I have this book in front of me, Quilts in Community, which is one of these quilt project books, right? Ohio's Traditions, because I'm setting the series in Ohio. I'm not from Ohio. I've never lived in Ohio. I have been to Ohio. I have driven the length of Ohio. I don't think I've ever driven the width, but I have driven the length of Ohio, starting up all the way. What is it, Lake Erie is at the very top, coming all the way down to get to Kentucky. So yes, but no, anyway, so that book kind of got me started reading all these books about quilt making and quilt history. And one thing will lead you to another. One article will lead you to another. One idea will lead you to another. And it's great fun. I guess, so I'm going to tell you I'm doing that. My original idea was that I would have this into AQS by the end of the month. But that is not going to happen because the end of the month is Saturday. And what happened is I actually got some, I'm working on something else with my editor, a children's book, and got her notes at the right at Christmas. So that kind of bumped this project back a little bit. So, you know, let's say Valentine's Day, I think I can have it all done. The funny thing is like I get an idea. It's like, cause, so I'm writing the synopsis. So I'm trying to think where I have, it's a, the basic thing is that it's set in 1930s. It starts in 1933. It's a group of women. It's a quilting bee. It follows the lives of these five women in the bee. And, you know, and so you're coming up with plot ideas and what could happen next and what could happen here. And your plot is not my strength, but it's fun. I just pretend it's a soap opera. I'm not trying to make it too soapy. It can't be dark, but I don't want it to be campy or not real. I like cozy, but I like real. So anyway, but I find myself getting interested in a plot idea and then researching it. And I'm thinking, I don't have to, I haven't even gotten a contract on these books and I may not. But so I don't really need to go into depth on the research right now. But I have had to look up some things to make sure would this plot point make sense? Like, would someone start in the 1934 sort of a cottage industry around quilts? Well, the answer is yes. I found this great book online used called Quilt Making in America, Beyond the Myths. It's basically papers from the American Quilt Study Group, a selection of their papers. Now, it was published like in 94. And I have found really great information in there that's been very, very helpful. So now I'm a member of the American Quilt Study Group. It costs $75. That's how I use some of my Christmas money because I've always been curious about it. And, you know, and just being on the listserv group is fun because you have access to all the archive stuff. And it's neat. It's neat. So I'm excited to see. They do a symposium every year. The one for 2015 is, I think, in Indianapolis in September. You know, some of the stuff that I want to do, stuff like that, like go to those kind of symposiums, it's just going to have to wait till my kids are out of the house. It's really hard to imagine going away the first week of September. Bye. See you guys. But Indianapolis is doable because I could just drive to Louisville and then drive to Indianapolis from there. Anyway, that is neither here nor there. So that's my big secret that I'm working on this proposal for this series. And that is why I'm so into this history stuff. And I just get deeper and deeper into it, which is fun because, I don't know, research is fun. Research is fun. And of course, research is a way to keep from doing other stuff. Like, I mean, right now I need to research so that I can make these women's lives realistic. And so I need to understand what would, you know, life in a, you know, fairly small town in Ohio be like in 1933, which is when the first novel is set. And how did the Depression affect different people? Did everyone go under? Well, no, everyone did not go under during the Depression. Some people, in fact, some people's livelihoods were pretty unaffected. Other people, of course, were wiped out. So I've had to do that research, and I've done what kind of quilts would they make? Where would they be getting their patterns? Where would they get their information from? So it's all great fun. It's all great fun. I'll keep you updated. I'll let you know when I submit the proposal and what I hear back, and also what the terms are, because I have a sense looking at the guidelines for the submission is in some ways doing the books through AQS would be akin to self-publishing. My guess is that is not the case with the pattern books they do, but it is the case with the novels. And they say that. They say, you know, what you need, essentially, we don't do deep editing. And that's okay, because I live with an editor, someone's a former editor, and have, hey, I'll send it to you if you want to play editor. You can, everyone will open, will crowdsource this. No, but I have people who I can send it to. And I actually, having worked with a very excellent editor for 15 years now, have learned some things about editing myself. So I feel like I'm in a really good position. But I'd be curious to see what the financial terms are. The thing is, though, if you publish through AQS, my feeling is you get, your books are really marketed. And look at that. Anytime you pick up a quilting magazine, AQS markets its books, including the fiction. So, fingers crossed, I'll keep you updated. But now you know. It's like, why is she so into the quilt history? That is why. And I won't even, and I'm sure I've learned many interesting things this week. But I won't go into it. Later, I will. And that's also, I'm trying to build this website, which I have not made a lot of progress on because of broken fingers and broken teeth, broken crowns. It's not really broken, loose crowns, and having to hang out in solidarity with poor moms who were trying to do a good deed and then got their whole Sunday afternoon taken away from them. You know, no good deed goes unpunished. I believe that more and more. All the time. I try to not do anything nice for anyone. And no, that's not true. But it's good to think things through, I think. All right. I you know what? I want to get this posted. It's not the meatiest episode, but you know, that's how it is sometimes. You know, we're coming up on the 5th anniversary of a lot of podcasts. Or at least two. At least me and Sandy. I'm trying to think when Pam started. Did she start the same year? Is she coming up on anniversary number 5? Or did she start in 2011? I don't remember. But anyway, we're coming up on some anniversaries. So those of you who have been listening all along, you know I ramble. You know I roam. You know I don't always have a lot of quilty talk. But I always have a lot of love in my heart for you and yours. I think there were other things I wanted to tell you, but now I can't remember what they are. And you know, well, the man snores. I'll tell you that. So right now it's like 1:15, now probably 1:30. And what I'm really thinking is like, maybe I should take a nap before I go to Target. This is the hard life of a writer. I know. That's what, speaking of good deeds, never going unpunished. The man went down to Charlotte to help his mama put in Wi-Fi. She called. She was very excited because she had called Time Warner and she was going to get Wi-Fi. She was going to get new cable and everything was going to be on cable. And she was going to get, she's had dial-up internet forever. And it was time. It was time to go wireless all the way through the house. New phones, everything. Here's the problem. What she didn't realize is that all her stuff is like 20 years old. It was not going to work with the new cable and the new wife. So the man drove down to Charlotte on Sunday. Cable guy came at 8 a.m. on Monday. The man bought his mama a new laptop, like a Chrome laptop, and a new TV. And maybe her phones were going to work with the new system. And he was there all day, showing her how to do stuff, knowing that she would forget how to do stuff. Bless his heart. But he said at one point the cable guy came into the room, and my mother-in-law said to him, "Do you know," pointing to the man, "do you know that his wife is Ryder? She doesn't even have to work." Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. I didn't know whether to be offended or just shake my head and go, "Yeah, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. That's my life." Well, I may nap. Who knows? Maybe I'll quilt since I'm sitting here talking about quilting. Whatever I do, I do it for you. I hope you're having a good time. I hope you're having a good January. It's almost over, and then February will be almost over, and then we'll just wish our lives away. No, we won't. We will quilt our lives away. I hope you're quilting. I hope you remember these words of wisdom. Life is short. Quilt first. I'll see you soon.